What's going on, y'all? Jesus with Corpus Christi Originals. In this podcast episode, we have the pleasure of having as our guest Priscilla Capatillo. Priscilla is well known for her visits to marketplaces and supporting local. And if this is something that you're interested in listening to, stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Priscilla.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So how's it feel being on the podcast with us?
I'm nervous, but I like to talk, so I think I'll be okay. But yeah, I am nervous. This is the first time I've ever done something like this, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure. So how did you feel when we initially invited you on the show?
I felt honored. I was like, wow, boring old me? Like, little old me? Like, sure, that'd be great. Of course, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into it later, but with my profession, I had to get permission, make sure everything was okay. And, you know, here we are a couple months later.
Yeah, and,
yeah, but I appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it.
Cool. So what do you do, if you don't mind?
I actually work for the government. I'm a federal probation officer. I've been doing that about a year and a half. Prior to coming onto the federal system, I worked for the state, for TDCJ, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and I was a parole officer. So I did that for almost 11 years. And that I learned a lot, never Wow. a dull moment, never a boring moment. Never boring.
Wow. That's crazy. So I assume you have to have like some kind of like degree or something to enter into that field.
Yes. I know they usually require, even with my job now, require a bachelor's degree of any sort. My degree is in criminal justice. I have a bachelor's degree. I got that in 2008. I don't have a master's degree. I know in my field, it kind of depends where you work. It could benefit you. It could not. I'm sure in the future, if I ever come up for a promotion, if somebody has a master's degree, I'm sure they'll, you know, get it over me. At this point, I haven't gotten one, maybe in the future.
Wow, man, that's awesome. So criminal justice, was that in your initial pathway in your education? It was?
Yeah, it was. I actually wanted to become an attorney.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I know with some people's journey through college, they switch majors, kind of see what's out. I mean, how are you supposed to know what you want to do when you're 17, 18 years old, you know? But okay. I wanted to be an attorney actually until my last year of college. I actually studied, took the LSAT, did all that. And then I worked with attorneys and I was like, I don't think this is for me. I don't know if I want the debt. I don't know if I, you know, want the stress. So I realized it wasn't for me. I never thought I would do this job though.
Wow. That's so crazy. So you assumed that you had to take out some debt and before to continue that, so you're like, nah, that's okay.
Yeah. 3 years of law school. I'm sure it's pricey.
Yeah, for sure. So did you have any loans for your bachelor's degree?
I actually got a loan my very last year. I started out at Del Mar. I did I think about 2 years there. I paid my way when I was at Del Mar. At one time I worked three jobs. I was like, I'm going to try to pay as much as I can. I was never really pushed to get education. Like, my parents are not bad people, you know, but they were just kind of like, do whatever, like, whatever you want to do, like, we'll support you. So I kind of had to do it on my own. Right. So when I saw an advisor and I realized like how much school was, the books, and I'm like, well, I think I could do it. So I tried to pay as much as I could, as far as I could. And then towards the last semester, I'm like, okay, like I need help, you know, at the university level. So of course it's more expensive. Well worth it though.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So that's a major work ethic for sure. Three jobs. Were you going full time at the same time?
Yeah, I was. And one of my jobs was full time. I was actually a bank teller. And I think anybody who's in college, like, that is such a good college job. Like, I loved it. You go in, you're out by like 6:15, 6:30, you lock up your money, you put it away. The bank I worked at I worked in like the drive-through. So they would be like, yeah, you can bring your homework. If we're slow, you can do it. I mean, they're not in front of you, so it's okay. So it was very helpful.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
So were there like misconceptions of people that you would see at the bank, like have so much money or something, like, you know what I mean? Because my wife used to work at one, and she's like, man, there used to be this guy, he looked poor and he had a whole bunch of money. Do you see that at all?
Even in my job now, like, you literally cannot, like, I do not judge, like, but yeah, I mean, we would see so many, like, business owners, you know, people who would come through, and it's like, dang, they're doing really well, you know, stuff like that. But of course, it's confidential, we keep it to ourselves, but, you know, we're silently like, dang.
yeah, for sure. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, so I was researching on YouTube. I always research on YouTube, and I was researching parole officer. And I came upon this channel where they were giving parole officers like a bad rep. Did you get that at all when you were?
Oh, for sure. For sure. At Walmart, I've been called names.
Wow. Wow, that's so why, I mean, yeah. do you mind me asking, like, why is that? Like, why would people do that to the parole officer?
I think because, like, we're, like, the bad guy, you know, like, we locked up your family member. We did, you know, and we're doing our job. It's not, you know, a click of a button and somebody goes to jail. Like, we have to be able to prove, you know, why this person is being put in jail. I mean, that's expensive, you know. We have to be able to prove with parole. We would deal with a board, so it's a little bit different. We didn't do like court judges, anything like that. Ours is through a board. So whenever somebody, like, let's say somebody's on parole, they pick up a violation, we go through a hearing process, and there's a board representative there. They're not on my side. They're not on the parolee side. They represent the board, and they're going to make the determination if that person is going to get out, that person's going to stay in, if they're going to go back to prison, if they're going to go to like a sanctioned facility. So, you know, we have to be able to say, this is what happened, and here's my proof. You know, words from your mouth mean nothing. You know, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. And that's just my motto, even now with my job, you know. And that's something I learned. I became a parole officer in 2010. And I had, you know, I did like an internship in college, totally different. I worked with the city attorney's office, so it was different. But I didn't know anything about, you know, the system, prison. I mean, I had some family members, you know, that, you know, back in the day.
But
It's all stuff from the outside. It's different when you're actually working in the field. So sure. I learned a lot. I mean, and that was one of the things, one of the first mentors I had told me, like, if it's not documented, it didn't happen.
Wow.
So you need to make sure you document everything.
Yeah, no kidding. So what are some of the things that you learned? I mean, is it like personal stuff that you learned about yourself, or, I mean?
Probably both. More just like how to, first of all, not to judge. That's a big thing with me. You know, sometimes people come in and they're like, I know I look like a bad person, or like, I'm the black sheep of my family. Like, I wasn't raised like this. And I'm like, hey, I'm not judging you at all. Like, we all make mistakes. Some of us just don't get caught. You know, like, nobody's perfect. I'm here to help you get through this and to get you to where you don't end up back here. So I learned a lot of compassion. I mean, I know that's like I said, we're the bad guys. So it's hard, you know, and this is not everybody. This is my experience. You know, everybody is different. I would say it's weird because I'm not really a patient person, but when it comes to work, I am one of the more patient people. If somebody's reaching out to me because they're going through something, I will make time for them. If that means I have to work late, if that means like, oh, I had lunch plans, but I guess I'm not going to lunch. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to help you to get through this and to learn, you know, how to cope with things, you know. And I'm not perfect. Like, I have problems too, but it's so crazy. Like, as a parole officer, probation officer, it's like you're also like a counselor. sometimes like a babysitter, like, some, you know, it's like you hold all different kinds of jobs.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much that can come up. Like, I can write a book. Like, I have seen and heard so much. Like, we always used to say that at when I worked for parole. Like, we can get together and write like a prize.
You should, for real.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just taught me a lot how to work and deal with different kinds of people. Like, because it's not just the person we're dealing with. We're dealing with their families, their kids, you know, we're dealing with them having mental health issues, drug addicts, you know, when they're on drugs, they're a totally different person. Yeah. So it's very interesting. And you know, it's kind of a thankless job, but there are those, you know, moments where somebody tells you, like, I appreciate you, or thank you for doing that, or, you know, so that's awesome when it happens.
That's cool. Yeah. Like you actually put in the extra effort, and when somebody notices that, it's helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I try. Sometimes, you know, there's no resources or it's funding, you know, stuff like that. There are some, you know, sometimes there's some challenges.
Yeah. So it is not like a private company job. It's like a public job, right?
Yes, it's a state. Parole was a state agency, and now I work for the federal government system.
So for the actual government, okay, okay. So the state of Texas, you work for the state of Texas, and now you work for the United States.
Yes.
Okay, and that's as a probation officer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you made the shift after 11 years.
It was almost 11 years. I was like a few months short of 11 years, but yeah, it was a tough transition.
Yeah. So were you like in it? Like, okay, I'm going to do this for 10 years. Like, did you think that way? Or was it just, I mean, you know?
Yeah. Towards when I was going to hit my 10 years, I started thinking like, I think I want to do something different. And I know for somebody from the outside looking in, it's kind of like, well, that's like the same thing. And it's the same population that I work with, but it is different. Like now, you know, the federal system, it is a lot more strict, you know, it's more, I do have to go to court now, which is something that I struggle with and I probably always will.
Why do you struggle with that?
It's you get very nervous. The judges, they can ask you anything they want. And, you know, you have to be, if you think you're prepared, prepare some more. So it's just something, you know, the judges just don't come down on the clients. They come down on everybody. Like, you need to know your stuff. But, you know, I consider myself a preparer. I'm like, I make a to-do list. Like, I'm one of those kind of people. Yeah. That's what works for me. So I try to be as prepared as possible, and that's all we can do, you know? And if you don't know something, say, I don't know. Don't lie or try to make up something, because that's just going to get you in more trouble.
Golly, that's a lot. Wow. Okay. So you're like, prepared, paperwork wise, like, you have to know, like, I guess you have to know the laws that are behind whatever they're trying to do or whatever. How's that work?
Knowing, like, for me, because I do, so in the federal probation system, there's different jobs within there. So my job is supervision. So I actually supervise clients out in the community. I have a pretty large area that I supervise. So on my end, it's more of like knowing the history of my clients, like knowing, have they been sent back before? Do they have a drug history? Do they have mental health issues? Do they have family support? However, on the other side, there's another job, you know, within my field. They do like the pre-sentence writing. So they're the ones who investigate, send in a report to the judge, and basically are there for sentencing. So they have to be a little bit more familiar with like the laws and guidelines with how much time, you know, somebody might potentially get sentenced. My job is more, you know, dealing with the clients, going to their houses, going to their works, calling their family, knowing about them. So I do try to get to know them, and I do care, you know, I'm not just asking them to be nosy. I mean, there are some things I have to ask because I have to, but right. I, you know, if they tell me, you know, my son's been going through this, or I've been going through this, my son, well, you know, what can we do? Like, is there anything I can help you with that mm-hmm. so we can work through this? You know, because in the end, all of these things are going to affect you. And I want to make sure you get through this, you know, as easy as possible and successfully complete this. And I never want to see you again because that means you're going on with your life and, you know, and getting past this.
Wow. So how do you get, so obviously you get like emotionally, you can get emotionally involved and like at the end of the day or week or whenever something is over, like how do you deal with that?
Like personally? It's hard. It really is. And I know not, like I said, not everybody's like me. I work a certain way. But it is hard, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, I'm like worried about somebody from that happened. I've had clients, you know, die on me. I've had people, you know, older clients die of old age. I've had people overdose. I've had people murdered. Like it's really sad. I mean, no matter what, I always, you know, it's sad because, you know, some of the people come out on the news or they come out on Facebook and just reading the comments, it's like, well, that's what he gets because he was a drug addict or that's what it's like, you know what, that's somebody's like dad, that's somebody's son. Like I have to like turn it off.
Yeah.
I have to like scroll because I'm like, you don't know. Like it's, and I think it's also like, because I was raised, like my dad was an alcoholic when, you know, growing up. So I've seen somebody deal with addiction. He's going to be sober for 12 years this year.
Yeah,
so I'm very proud of him. Thank you. But I guess it's also different because I've, seen it firsthand, you know, addiction, and it's not that easy. Like he deserved it, he's a drug addict, but did anybody help him? Did he want to get help? Did he go through a rehab? Like and you know, and sometimes they don't want help, and sometimes, you know, and that's you can't help somebody who doesn't want it, you know, but if they are willing to, like, I'm willing to help you as much as I can, you know.
Wow, that's good. Man, congrats to your pops on 12 years, man. Gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm so proud of him.
So you saw a major change.
Wow,
what was that like?
It was, at first, it was like unbelievable.
Wow, okay.
I was like, is he, this was, I mean, I was in my 20s. I was like, okay, I'd seen it before. Like, let's see if he sticks with it, you know, and he said, like, he said himself, like, I am tired of this. Like, and he says it himself, you know, it was me. Like, I had to make the change. I had to know, like, I'm done with this. And he's like, no matter how many times, you know, I hurt somebody or I went to jail or it doesn't matter. Like, I needed to do it. So I understand that, although I haven't, you know, battled with that myself. I believe it does help me to work with people who are struggling, you know, and of course I can't be too personal in my job and like sit there and tell them my story, or my dad's story, because it's not my story to tell, but it's like I understand, like, you know, and that's what I kind of try to tell them, like, if they're dealing with something like that, I'm like, think of those around you, like, you're not going through this alone, like, you're also affecting your kids, like your dad. I mean, I've had people get out from being locked up and they're like, I lost both of my parents and I didn't even get to say bye. You know, I was in the system. And
tough.
It's like, okay, well, what are you going to do that way that doesn't happen with your other family members? Like, what are we going to do to keep you out so you don't have to feel that pain again? Right. You know?
Yeah. So do y'all help them like find resources for that stuff, or can you, or is it like just suggestions at that point?
It depends. Some of them have, you know, certain conditions. Therefore, we can help with, you know, the funding towards it. We do have some resources locally that we can send them to that we can use. There's quite a bit, you know, some good stuff. Of course, sometimes there's a wait time, but we understand. I mean, not everything's going to be, you know,
when
we want it. So it kind of teaches all of us patience. But if they really want the help, you know, it's there and we can help as much as we can. Like I say, in the end, it's going to be up to you. I can't be with you 24 hours a day. So it's going to be like, what are you going to do on your own time? You know? And I run into that sometimes because clients, you know, they call my phone, they text me on the weekends and I'm like, hey, like, I don't have an exciting life, but I do have a life outside of here. So sometimes I'll respond, sometimes I won't. That's funny. And they're usually like, I'm sorry, like I should have thought about it, or I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. And I'm like, that's fine. Just know that like I'm not going to respond to you right away.
Yeah, man. God, it's got to be tough.
You know me, on the weekends, I'm at the local market.
Yeah, so I was going to bring that up. So you're not known for all this stuff that we're talking about locally, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So you're on IG a lot, on Instagram a lot, and you're always going to the local. You're always supporting local. What's up with that?
Yeah, that is like my favorite thing to do. I love it. I've been going to markets for a while, actually. I just like it. You know, I work hard for my money, and I want to give my money to the community, like if I can. You know, of course, I'm not going to say I don't shop at Target and I don't go on Amazon like I do.
Yeah, right.
But if there's something, especially with gifts, like every time I give my friends gifts, they know like, oh, it's going to be from somebody local. Like, I already know it's going to be, a lot of my friends are like, oh, I know I'm getting earrings. They already know that like, I'm all about the earrings. But yeah. So I try to do that. I try to say like, oh, like this is from this local maker. And then they'll be like, oh, cool. I'm going to see what else they sell. And just try to get the word out. Just because that money goes back into our community. And like, I love Corpus. Like when I was in college, I don't think I mentioned it, but I went to college in San Antonio. So I didn't really love Corpus until I moved away. And I was like, I actually miss it. Like, what, what's up with that? Like, yeah. I miss the smelly water.
Yeah, exactly.
You miss it when you leave, or I did. And people would be like, oh, you're from the coast, and like it would sound all all like tropical, and I'm like, that's not what you think, but you know, that's what, how they know it over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, everybody, oh, you're from the coast, and I'm like, Yeah, the green smelly the green water. Okay. But you know, it's home.
Right,
like
yeah.
I was born and raised here, so it's home, and I love it. I love supporting local businesses. If it's not something that I'm into, I'll think like, who can I buy that for? You know, I have a lot of close friends. I have a group of, you know, my best friends, and I'll try to like support everybody or as much as I can. And like I said, even if it's not for me, I'll be like, oh, so-and-so will like that. Let me get it for her, or, you know,
right,
just to try.
That's cool. So it's like you're supporting, you love the city, and that's one way that you can support the city by putting money back into it. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I'm not creative. I tell the local makers, I'm like, I am not creative. I could never do the things you do. Y'all are awesome. So my way of supporting is just to get the word out. I share on Instagram. If I buy something, I'll share it. Buying gifts, because I will never be able to create cool stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. So yeah, so you were one of the first persons that we gave that I gave shirt to. Mm-hmm. And you're like, shoot, yeah, come on. So we met somewhere, and then I gave you, and then ever since then, you've always been like shouting us out, you know. And I'm like,
yeah,
that why are you doing that, you know? So that's pretty cool. We really appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I remember when you reached out to me, and I'm like, well, I want to pay him. Like, I feel bad, and and I think we met at like Kohl's parking lot, and like. Mm-hmm. I know for other people that might be weird, but like, I'm used to going to people's houses, their works, like everywhere. So I'm like, yeah, I'll meet you. It's cool. Like, and then I turned around and I bought my best friend a shirt. I bought my dad the cap. He loves the cap.
Yeah.
And I just kind of try to spread the word, and I appreciate you with that merch.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You're welcome. So your dad likes Rush a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So is that one of the reasons why you got into like heavy music when you were younger?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's favorite band is Rush. So my favorite all-time band is Pantera. Everybody who knows me knows that. I actually have them tattooed on my body. They're the only band I have tattooed on me. That's funny. Yeah, I always say they're the only band worthy. But yeah, so I actually first heard Pantera because of my dad.
Wow.
He had the Cowboys from Hell CD. And during, I think it was about early high school, I lived with my dad, actually. So he was kind of like, ah, just do whatever. Like, don't, you know, I trust you. Like, you're a good kid. Like, I was never bad. I wasn't like, you know, the perfect child, but he's like, it's cool. Like, he never, like, he was like, listen to the music. Like, it's not going to make you, you know, some people are like, oh my God, like, don't listen to that music. It's going to make you bad. I listen to Marilyn Manson. I listen to all that, but yeah, Rush, Black Sabbath. He took me to see Black Sabbath when I was, 13.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
It was one of my first, I've been going to concerts since I was 12, but that was one of my first ones, Pantera and Black Sabbath.
Nice.
And I went with him and we saw Black Sabbath a couple years ago. They had the end tour or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So we went and we saw Kiss and it's something we share, you know, it's cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Like it makes me think of, cause I have my daughter, she's six and yeah, so it makes me think of like how much I will be an influence on her and the stuff that she'll like, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah. So you grew up in Corpus. Which schools did you go to?
I went to Prescott Elementary. Mm-hmm. It's no longer there. I went to Cunningham Middle School, which is also not there. They moved it or something. The building's still there, but it's something else. And then I was supposed to go to Moody, but I moved with my dad, when high school was starting and I went to Ray. But I kind of wanted to go to Ray. So it was cool. I really liked it. So I just went to those three schools. I never, you know, switched or anything. Late in high school, I actually moved with my mom. She was living in Robstown, but I was already going to be a senior and I was working already. I had my own car. So I was like, do I have to go to Robstown? Like, I'm okay, like, going to Ray. So she's like, if you want to drive every day, that's fine. So, so I just stuck with those schools. Wow. I remember my first day at Ray, I got lost. I didn't know anybody, and I was not used to such a huge school.
Right.
So I got lost, and then somebody was like, it's just a T. Like, it's literally a T. The hallway is a T. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And now that I think of it, I don't even know how I got lost. It was literally, like...
Yeah, but, so like the third floor is the T, and then the more it gets to the bottom, it starts stretching out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so embarrassing. But I mean, I think it was that, and then nerves, of course. I was nervous. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
I remember like I used to wear like the black, and I was like into like the metal music and stuff, and I still am. But I remember my first day of school, there was like a gangster guy and he's like, oh, look at Marilyn Manson looking hot over here. And I was like, I'm lost. Like, leave me alone. It was so fun. I was like, what? I don't know. I just thought of that. That was hilarious.
That's awesome, man. I went to Ray for like 3 years. So I remember what it was like over there. And I played sports. It was always sports, you know. Go to school, sports, and then go home. Like, I would never hang out at school or nothing like that. So that's, like, all I knew for those 3 years.
Yeah. What sports did you play?
I played football a little bit. Mostly football, but track field. And that was just those two. That was it. Yeah.
Cool. Even to this day, I always say I'm not athletically inclined. Like, I was in band, and then I was on the dance team my last year. But I was in band in middle school and
cool. What you play?
So the clarinet.
Oh right, yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it magically disappeared. Like, I don't know what happened to it to this day. I'm like, did somebody pawn it in my house or what happened to it? I guess. But yeah, it was fun. The football games and stuff were always fun. Pep rallies and.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a pretty big school.
Yeah, it is pretty big. And I like it because it's a mix of different cultures in one.
Yeah.
So you kind of, if you go there, you kind of learn the different, because it's kind of like a rich neighborhood on one side of Ray, and on the other side, it's not so rich, you know, and you get both of those merged in one. So you get to learn both.
I was definitely on the not so rich side.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
And then we grouped together like, okay, you know, you're over there and you're over
here. Like, after school, what direction are you walking?
Yeah, exactly.
Or are you getting in your own car and leaving?
Yeah.
Which I did have a car, but it's only because I worked.
Hey, nice. So you bought your own car?
I bought my own car in high school. Yeah, I worked at Peter Piper Pizza. It's not there no more. It's where Dick's Sporting Goods is now. But yeah, my brother works in Port Aransas. He still works there to this day. He's probably been about 20 years or more than 20 years.
Oh, wow.
But there was like a couple trying to get rid of a 89 red Pontiac Firebird. And they wanted $500 for it. And they just wanted to get rid of it. So my brother, my dad called me right away. They're like, hey, we know you're looking for a car. Like this older couple just wants to get rid of it. Like if you can bring $500, they'll sell it to you. I was like, hell yeah. So, and that car was so good to me. Like it had like the lights that would go up in front. And I remember one of them would get stuck. So I put like a screw. So I had like two screws. I would call it Frankenstein to leave the light up. So it was like winking.
But
after like I was on the dance team, like I said, so sometimes we would have pep rallies and then we'd have like a little break before we had to go and get ready to like go to the football game. So me and my friends would load up in my car and go eat, you know, when you're in high school, you eat like Mexican, you can eat whatever. Like me, I wouldn't get sick or gain weight, different now, but we would load up. I want to say I fit like 7 or 8 people in there one time. Nice. I went to the taqueria and we were like going over the bump and it was like scraping because it was so much weight.
That's funny.
Good times, good times. I ended up selling it. It lasted me a good, maybe like 5 years, and I ended up selling it. I think I sold it for like $1,000. So it lasted me all the time and I made profit.
Totally different from the car you have now, huh?
I have a Toyota.
Yeah, when you got the first one, it was old. Was it old, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't new. Yeah.
That's true.
What I mean.
Was at that point. Yeah, I was probably like 13 years old, and the car I drive now is like about 2 or 3 years old. So I'm thankful.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. Yeah,
more reliable.
Reliable. My car, when I got out of high school, it was three different colors. So like the back was like blue, the front was white, and the inside was red. Oh my gosh.
But hey, it got you where you needed to go, right?
Yeah, it sure did. It had a tape player. It had a tape player. That's how old the thing was.
I think mine did too. I had like the adapter where you can put.
Yeah, exactly. I had that too.
CD or something.
Yeah, you hook it up to the headphones of the CD player, and that's how it'll get the sound. Man, so it makes me think about
this.
Yeah, for sure.
And I am, I am like older. I'm 37. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so people might be watching, like listening to this, and they're like, what? Like,
no,
she's
it's
ancient.
All good. Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably went to this. I'm 38. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, 39.
I graduated in 03.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I think 01. I can't remember these things. I don't know why. It's like things I just can't remember. I don't know. It's weird.
I forget sometimes too. Like whenever all the questions, like when did you graduate college? When did you do this? I'm like, hold on. Like one at a time.
I'm like, let me get my resume. It has it on there, but I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Hey, that's smart. Carry your resume, take a picture of it, and put it on your phone.
Yeah.
Man, the things we have to do when we get older, right?
Yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, because there's a comedian. She calls herself an elder millennial. Like one of the older. One of the older millennials. Because when you think of millennials, you think of like 20s, I guess, and 25 or whatever. But we're still part of the millennial spectrum, I guess, because we're born in a certain year or something.
Mm-hmm. So so we would be the elder millennial.
The elder millennial. That's funny.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I think, let me see, I'm trying to look at my notes here. Yeah, do you remember when Pantera was they were at Craig's Record Factory doing a signing? You remember that?
I do remember that, and it's on I wasn't there, but I have a Pantera. It's called the Pantera 3. Had the VHS. That's how long ago I got it.
Yeah.
It in middle school, but I have the Blu-rays now, and it shows like a little, it shows all about their tour and backstage. It's cool. It's like 3 hours long, but one of the little clips is from Craig's Record Factory.
Yeah.
And
yep. I remember
that's cool.
That.
But yeah, I wasn't there, and they actually came to Corpus I want to say in 01, and I also missed that one. I think I had to work or something. I was like, but I did get to see him, like I said, in 1999.
Yeah, for sure. I think I seen
Yeah,
him like
one
maybe.
time.
Oh, so that's good. Shoot.
Yeah, you've seen
Yeah.
him multiple times, right?
Oh man, probably like 4 or 5 times. And it
That's
was like, yeah,
awesome.
they were one of the favorites. I like the Deftones. I know you like the Deftones
Me
also.
too. I've seen them about 5 times.
Yeah, and I've been with them ever since like the original. Well, I wasn't like I heard the original album, the first one. Well, I think it was the original, the Adrenaline.
Adrenaline, yeah.
That
That's
was the
the
first
best one.
Yes. That's the
I
first
love
one. And
it.
ever since then, I'm like, dude, everything is Deftones, everything.
And Chino
So
Moreno has like a multiple bands. He has one called
yeah.
Palms Crosses. They both came to well, separately. They came to Brewster's, and I saw it's like a different vibe, you know, it's
He
mellow,
seems like he likes to
chill,
come.
but
He seems like he likes to come to Corpus a lot.
I
Whether it's with
know.
right, whether it's with Deftones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's I'm not complaining. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of my favorites. I've seen them probably about 5 times. Yeah, about 5 times. I've seen Korn about 5 times too. Slipknot. I've been to hundreds of concerts, so that's like my favorite. That's one of my other favorite things to do. So
Yeah, so are you going? You have any concerts that you're going to soon?
it's funny, I have one from September of 2020
Oh,
that's been
wow.
getting rescheduled because of COVID, and that's
Crazy.
Rammstein, that
Oh,
German metal band.
yeah.
So it's supposed to happen in September of this year. It's in San Antonio.
No, nice.
And it actually worked out because when they have, I think initially it was like on a Wednesday, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to get a room. Like, I've tried the whole going to a concert, driving back after. Like, I'm too old for that. Like, I don't drink or anything like that. But I just get sleepy. Like, I can't do it. But now this year, it's the date that they moved it to. It's on a Saturday. So
No, right on.
that'll be good. At least I won't have to, because I've done it, go to
Yeah.
concert, drive home, and go to work the next day. Too old for that.
Yeah, I remember
But
I went to a concert with my folks a long time ago, and it was in, I think it was in Austin or somewhere, but we couldn't find a place to sleep to stay
Oh,
because we were
no.
trying we they were trying to drive back. I think they were trying to drive back after the concert, and we ended up sleeping in the Suburban, like at some parking lot, because we couldn't find a place to sleep.
Wow, that's
It was
concert
funny.
life right there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because you hadn't planned on staying, so you didn't schedule a room. Yeah, I've thought of it a few
That's
times.
funny.
I went to one in Austin a couple of years ago, and I was already yawning at the concert. I'm like, oh, I have to drive home after this. And I was with my friend. She fell asleep. I was like, we're not gonna wake her up. Of course, after she's like, you should have woke me up. But I opened the windows. I was chewing gum. I was like, trying. I was like, never again. And it was Machine Head. So it
Oh,
was a
nice.
pretty wild show. But
Crazy.
I was like, I'm too tired and too old for this.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show.
I
And
appreciate it.
yeah, no, maybe it gives the people a chance to know kind of who you are, because they see you at markets a lot and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I have to be, private about because of my job. Of course, like I said, I got permission to come on here, so I
Cool.
feel more comfortable talking about it. But as far as like posting, stuff, you'll
Yeah.
never see me really talk about. And maybe I'll say like at work or working, but I'll
Right.
never be too, just because it's confidential. I don't want to get in trouble. That's the last thing. I
Yeah.
mean, I value my job. I'm so grateful, for everything I've learned along the way. And so I appreciate you understanding whenever you ask me. And I'm like, it's not that I don't want to be on. I just need to make sure it's okay. And I appreciate you being
Thank
patient
you.
with me and, letting me come on. Like I said, I'm just like a regular person. So I'm not like a
Yeah.
business owner. I'm not a musician, but that's what's great. Thank you for what you do, because I know I feel like you're trying to get it out there to have, different people on your show. I heard one of your recent episodes, you said you wanted to have a homeless person. That's awesome. Like, they're still part of the community, like you said. Everybody has a story to tell. So thank you for what you're doing. It's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I didn't, because when I'm talking to you now, you're not a business owner like a lot of people, but you're definitely a hard worker, and through the way you what you're talking about, people can tell.
Thank you.
You know, and so that's something that, you know, that we can relate to too. Like, hey, we're hard workers down here.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised by a single mom, and
yeah,
I've never seen otherwise. I mean, she worked her whole life. There was even a time where she was going to school, working, taking care of me and my brother. Like, that's all I know. You know what I mean? So it's just work ethic was like really big. My mom's like, you have to, you know, get a job, go to do something. Like, right. Don't depend on anybody else. Like, do something for yourself. Because that's in the end, like, that's all we have.
Right. Yeah,
know?
For
and,
sure.
And I'm not a parent. I don't have kids. So I know it'd be different, but yeah. that's just, you know, not for me, but, I'm not against it. I'm just like, that's not, you know, me right now. So,
yeah.
So hard work is very important to me.
Yeah. It seems like that's a commonality too, among our, you know, families down here, is that parents are separated or divorce, you know, we grew up like that. Excuse me. Yeah, so that's definitely something that's common, and we can still make something of ourselves even though we grew up that way.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Like, nothing's perfect, nobody's perfect. It's all in what you do, you know, for yourself. It's, you know, I'm not about that, like, poor me, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, everybody has a story, like I said, and it's how we cope with what happens to us and how we move forward and try to just do the best we can to give ourselves, you know, the life we deserve.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay. So, yeah, no, appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on. I'm trying to wrap up. My wife's going to be here in a minute with the kids, and it's going to get loud.
Tell her I said hi.
Yeah. Oh, tell your honey we said hi too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. He's like, a shirt for me. He's like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Shoot.
Yeah. Thank you for sending that.
You're welcome. Thanks for posting
Appreciate
the pic.
It.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Thanks again for having me.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Do you want to share anything before we go?
No. I mean, my Instagram, I think you have it listed there, but I'm under Silly Priscilly. I'm just a regular girl. So you can follow me if you want. I mean, I'm not super excited. It's not super interesting, but I try to support local and just kind of share. And that's pretty much it. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're welcome. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all, that was Priscilla Capatillo and I having a conversation for this episode of Corpus Christi Originals podcast. Hey, if you want to help, you can follow her. I'll leave a link in the description. You can find her on Instagram and follow and just kind of be up to date what she's doing. Also, if you want to support the channel, check out CorpusChristiOriginals.com. We have some merch there to support the city with. I'm sorry, to represent the city with. And we appreciate y'all. Bye.